higher than anticipated. This is a crowded event.
Registration has been much higher than anticipated. This is a crowded event. Please share. Please. So, go Greens. Yes. Okay, there's some empty seats here. There's a couple here. Please fill in. I appreciate the fact that you're quieting down. We have a lot to do and a lot to learn. This is for candidates for the presidential nominee of the Green Party of the United States. This is a forum which will be moderated by Doug Cunningham. He has been for 5 years the Capitol correspondent for Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Radio Network. Pardon me. It's only Thursday and I'm already tired. He reports on state politics. There are 73 member stations to Wisconsin Radio Network. Doug, fortunately for us, began in alternative radio. He didn't just drift there over time. In the 80s, he started alternative an alternative newspaper in Michigan, the Michigan Voice, co-founding it with several people, including Michael Moore. And then he was the news director for the NPR member station in South Bend for a while. We're really pleased to have him here moderating the forum. The presidential nominee candidates you are undoubtedly familiar with, but just in case, we have David Cobb, Peter Cameo, Kent Mesplay, and Lorna Salzman. The format is this. We will have 4-minute introductions by the candidates, and then we have some questions. We had put out a call for questions on the national listserv, and they came in, and that's where we drew the questions from. I'm going to let Doug take over now. Thank you much.
Thank you. And welcome to Milwaukee. This is, of course, the presidential candidate forum. We are going to go right down the line for opening statements, and the candidates have agreed to just start at that end of the table and move down. They are going to do 4-minute opening statements, and the first opening statement will be from David Cobb.
Thank you. You know, in 4 minutes, it's hard to capture what's really going on here, but I want to take a moment in those short 4 minutes to announce that the Cobb campaign has chosen a vice presidential running mate. I am very proud, humbled, and honored to introduce to you, Green Party delegates, Pat LaMarche, Green Party of Maine, a tireless social justice organizer, a Green Party organizer who got the Maine Independent Green Party ballot status, got the Maine Green Party back to the next level. And folks, that's what the Green Party is poised to do in 2004. We're getting larger. We're getting stronger. We're getting better organized with every election cycle. And we're doing it in a system that's designed not just to prevent our success, it's designed to prevent our existence. And here we are. We're electing more people to office. We're earning more ballot lines. We're changing this culture. And we're doing it brick by brick, one step at a time. We're not taking any shortcuts. We're doing it the old-fashioned way. I've been to 41 states across this country. I've been doing it, admittedly, on a shoestring budget. I've slept in many of your homes. I thank you for that. I want to get back out there on the road, spend 4 more months organizing the Green Party. In the time I've been out there, I have convinced individuals to run for office as Greens. I have helped to secure ballot lines in Illinois, particularly, that we know we would have lost if I had not come there to help organize. I know for a fact that I have helped local chapters get started, and I have helped campus Greens get started. And you know, front page, the Journal Times, Racine County's daily newspaper, a photograph, color photograph, and I just want to point out, it says, Green Party candidate visits Racine. First sentence, Green Party presidential candidate. Green Party presidential candidate. That's what we're going to do here. We're a grassroots party. We can do this. We ain't taking any shortcuts. And we're in it to win it. And frankly, I don't mean David Cobb winning the Green Party's presidential nomination, although I would love to do that. We're going to win this culture war. We're going to win and change this system. We are not going away. Getting larger, stronger, better organized. Cobb LaMarche can help you do that. Peace.
Thank you, David. David Cobb. Thank you, David, for that opening remark. And now, next in line for his opening statement, Peter Camejo.
The overriding issue in this campaign is the war in Iraq. It is the illegal, criminal invasion that the United States has carried out. It is also the Patriot Act, which has taken away our Constitution. And behind all these issues of the fact that our planet is being destroyed, and the Democratic and Republican Party, the two parties of the corporate world, are destroying the basis of even human existence on this planet. Our party and the pioneering work we have done and the gains that we are making throughout the country, we have to move this anti-war movement and all the forces that stand for civil liberty forward in America. Ralph Nader, who was our presidential candidate in 2000, is now running for president. The polls show him with 8 million people backing him. We must not turn our back on those people. We want to reach out as the Green Party. I will be going to every state in the union I can get to as a Green to talk to this 8 million people and try to recruit them and get them into the Green Party. But we have to be absolutely clear on our position to this war. And what the fear I have with David Cobb's campaign is his position that if this interim puppet government the United States had set up with the CIA operative running it, he says in his website that if they ask for troops, he's for the troops staying. I am opposed to the troops staying. We must withdraw. On the debate we had in Democracy Now! Yesterday, David Cobb answered me by saying we cannot cut and run. Let me repeat it. We cannot cut and run. Let me tell you, Greens, fellow Green Party members, that is exactly what we must do, is get out. The people of Iraq do not want us. The people of the world do not want us. Now, we are deeply divided in the Green Party on how best to approach this. My position is we never say to people to vote against what they believe in. Never say to people, vote for the Democratic or Republican Party. We understand many will because we don't have free elections. But I disagree with David Cobb saying, vote Kerry, as he has posted on his website, that's his position in borderline and battle states. I do not agree with that. We recognize and we accept that. But we never call for people to vote against a candidate that's against all of our key 10 values. And what I want to propose at this convention is this. Because we're so divided, in the spirit of the Green Party, which is an open, you know, all-inclusive, trying to get people to work together on these social issues, let's create a unity. Let's come out of this together. Let's not turn our back on Ralph Nader while he's under this vicious attack from the Democrats. Let's not turn our back on David Cobb and all the good work he has done to try to build this party. Let's walk out of here with a dual endorsement. Let's have 4 candidates out there talking for peace. Let's have all the maximum strength to build the Green Party and accept the political diversity that exists in the Green Party. There will always be Greens that are for lesser evil, and there will always be Greens that are for the Avocado Declaration, at least into the next period of history, arguing how best to do that. Let's not have the party become a party of only one of these 2 currents. Let's accept this problem and understand this election is very exceptional. Never in the history of our nation has there been such a campaign to try to silence the views that we represent and that Ralph Nader represents. Let's unify our forces with the 8 million people behind Ralph Nader. Let's work together. Let's come out of here unified. Thank you.
Peter Camejo. Peter Camejo. Thank you, Peter, for your opening remarks. Real political passion. You're fortunate as a party to have these candidates with such passion. Next in line for his opening statement, Kent Mesplay. Kent?
There are four people up here who deeply admire and, dare I say, love Ralph Nader, and deservedly so. If not for Ralph, we wouldn't be here, at least not in this state of organization. My plea is that when we are done with this convention, that we not have torn ourselves apart. We have wonderful candidates. We are experiencing growth pains, but that's a good thing, not a bad thing. The way I distinguish myself from such distinguished candidates, and I know, believe you me, I know who I am up against, is that I believe that we need to run one candidate, a Green, for president. We need to run to win. We need to run in every state. Regarding Iraq, there will be time to discuss this. I believe that our approach needs to be out now, unconditional withdrawal. It's going to take time anyway. We'll be lucky if we're out of there by the end of the year. On other matters, I do believe that we need to move toward national energy independence as swiftly as possible, as though... as though our lives depended upon it. We have the technology. We have the scientific know-how. What we lack is the political will. PV panels now are some three times as efficient as they were in the 80s. A recent quote I saw is 185 watts per square meter, which is pretty good. With solar thermal energy, 1 kilowatt a square meter is nothing to sniff at. The total insulation falling on the Earth is 10,000 times the world primary energy use. We have the means to cut the umbilical cords that we have, to break our addiction to petroleum. But we're not going to do it unless we, the only cogent voice of reasonable political dissent in the United States, do not lose our way. Let's stay true to what Greens are really about. Let's adhere to our 10 key values. And please, let's not burn out. Let's not burn out. I have to mention some internal matters because they are important, namely what will happen on Saturday. As delegates, you have an incredibly crucial role. This convention, dare I say, is more important than the Democratic convention will be and than the Republican convention will be. Many of you know that I am offering myself as a compromise candidate. I predict that we're not going to resolve any problems within one or two rounds. We may go five or six rounds. So for those of you in the audience who are truly uncommitted, your vote will go the furthest when you vote for me in the first round. So please do consider that. There will be time to work toward a candidate or, if it happens, toward an endorsement. But I prefer one Green Party candidate, one national campaign, and one that does not try to test the political winds as we go. Our young people especially want someone who is running to win, who, even though it looks impossible, believes that there is even the slightest chance we can win, and we need to stick with that. We need to run to win. So thank you.
Kent Mesplay. Kent, thanks for your remarks. We have one candidate remaining. She will have her 4 minutes for an opening remark as well. And after that is finished, we will move directly into the questions. And each candidate will have 2 minutes to respond to these prepared questions. Now, with her opening comments and her opening statement, Lorna Salzman.
Ralph Nader has been criticized for running an independent campaign. I think Ralph Nader's campaign is the campaign that the Green Party should be running. Let me explain. I've been in this movement and party since 1984, and I would like to continue to be part of the movement. But I don't see us as being purists. I don't see us, even with our 10 key values, which I call the 10 key commandments, I don't see that as being basic to what will grow the Green Party. I think Ralph Nader understands what will grow any party, and that is an appeal to vast constituencies that we have ignored or that we prefer to ignore, constituencies that may not fit our ideas of who is politically correct. There are 48 to 50% of Americans who are very, very dissatisfied with the two-party system and the existing policies of those systems. And they often show that by protest, by listening to demagogues, by going to fringe third parties. Those people are looking for a home. And Ralph Nader is articulating and addressing those concerns. The Green Party should be doing the same. There are people out there who perhaps we don't associate with socially, perhaps we look down culturally, but those are the potential Greens in this country. And if we write them off, we will be the fringe party. We will be the elitist party demanding the loyalty oaths and becoming the elite group that dictates its own ideology without concern for the true needs of the vast majority of Americans, ordinary businessmen, people who vote Republican, eat meat, hunt, fish, all those people, many of them, those are our potential constituents, and almost 3 million of them voted for Ralph Nader in the last election. The next, and part of that, and this is where I come in personally, as an environmental activist, professionally, and also as a grassroots organizer and writer and lecturer, this is where I come in. I've noticed, and perhaps others have noticed also, that there aren't many environmentalists. We all are, in a sense, environmentalists, but people who have come out of the movement, had hands-on experience, have been involved in local issue, national issues, pertaining to the environment. They are not in this party, with a very few exceptions. Why aren't they in this party? Because we have not articulated, we have not embedded an ecological philosophy and a paradigm at the center of our program. Environmental issues, ecology, are not just another entry on the laundry list. They are the whole ball of wax under which everything else, social and economic justice included, are encompassed. Because if you look at the solution to ecological problems, you will understand that the changes and reforms that you will achieve in environmental battles are actually going to bring about the social and environmental change, social and economic change. You have to ask the right questions. And the biggest question that faces us is in the issue of global warming. This party has an opportunity to become what no other party, what no other movement has become in this country. That is the voice, the champion, the warrior for ecological and energy sanity. We have right here in this country, primarily, but in the industrialized world, we have our own eco-terrorism. This terrorism has a weapon that we are wielding against ourselves. It is called cheap oil. If we do not end cheap oil, the age of cheap oil, the end of oil, to move to renewable energy systems, if we do not reverse our overconsumption of all resources, but in particular oil, within the next 20 years, all our efforts to resolve social and economic justice issues will be for naught.
Lorna Salzman. Thanks, Lorna, for your opening remarks. We are now going to move to the question phase, and as I mentioned, each candidate will have 2 minutes to respond, and I would like to draw the attention of the candidates to our timekeeper down here on the front row. David Berenson will be holding up his time cues, so if you can have an opportunity to look at those, you'll keep this show running on time, hopefully. We're going to start at the other end of the table again with David Cobb, and again, 2 minutes for this response, and here is the question. What is your plan or strategy for increasing the size and influence of the Green Party, including getting green values represented in policymaking in the U.S.?
Listen. We are getting larger, stronger, and better organized with every election cycle, and we're doing it because we're staying committed to growing a democratic organization with institutional self-respect, and we are doing it over the long haul. We're electing more people as Greens. We are proving that we can govern when we get into office. We are earning more ballot lines. We are doing all the things that are necessary as grassroots organizers to be able to do. I'm proud that we're doing it now. The Cobb campaign has been doing it. The Cobb-LaMarche campaign wants to go out as the Green Party to continue to go through that process. Let's be very clear. I'm a lawyer because of Atticus Finch and Ralph Nader. Atticus Finch is a fictional character in To Kill a Mockingbird for you non-Southerners. You know, Ralph Nader's had more influence on my life than anybody who is not directly related to me. And I cannot tell you the amount of respect, esteem, and how profoundly humbled I am that I had the opportunity to work for him in 2000 on that campaign. But a Nader independent slash populist party slash reform party ticket is not going to grow the Green Party. A Cobb-LaMarche Green Party ticket in partnership with local and state Green Parties will do that. We want to unleash Pat LaMarche, and we want to go everywhere that we can in partnership with local and state Green Parties and help to grow the Green Party. That's the way to do it.
David Cobb, would you like me to quickly repeat it, or are you prepared to answer?
Yes. In the campaign I'm going to run for vice president with Ralph Nader, I'm going to go out and try to reach to the Latino community and to the African-American community. In my campaign in California, African-Americans voted for me 2-1 as compared to European-Americans, and also the Latinos. And you know, why should we be competing? Why can't we all work together to build the Green Party? Nader is at 12% in the polls among young people. I'm going to get out and talk to them and be able, by forming this alliance with a current that's for independent political action that Ralph Nader represents, that's broader than us. It is wonderful that many people are endorsing a break with the Democrats and Republicans, even though they may not yet be Greens. We have to reach out for them and try to incorporate and win them to the Green Party platform. And the fact that and the fact that David Cobb and others here have been raising these issues and want to campaign, you see, I'm for that. But I want to debate Dick Cheney, and I can't do that. I can't do that without your support. If the Green Party does the co-endorsement and you're backing me, I'm telling you, I broke through in California, didn't I? I was the first person in the history of the United States to be more progressive, represent a party that's more progressive than the Democratic Party in a national televised debate. And that momentum that we have coming out of California and those six nationally televised debates could maybe open the door. Don't close that door. Be flexible. Understand that at this point we all need to work together. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Peter Cameo. Now, Kent Mesplay, would you like me to repeat the question, or are you ready to answer?
Please repeat the first part, something about the size and something.
Okay. The question again, quickly, what is your plan or strategy for increasing the size and influence of the Green Party, including getting green values represented in policymaking in the U.S.?
Thank you. Well, first of all, I'll answer the second part of the question regarding green values in policymaking in the United States. First of all, we really need to focus. And what I suggest is that we focus on energy, because this is a majoritarian issue, as Ralph Nader likes to say. Energy use is majoritarian. Energy is a security issue, which is one of the buzzwords right now. We Greens have been aware of potential security threats for a lot longer than Republicans and Democrats, wouldn't you say? We really do look ahead, and we look toward the future. So I would say focus on energy policy. Our people in the White House on Capitol Hill really don't care about moving us forward. They're stuck with dinosaur themes. Regarding growing the size of the Green Party, size alone isn't important. In the words of Teddy Roosevelt, we need to do what we can with what we have where we are at. My campaign is one that reaches out across boundaries. I'm the only person here who grew up in a rainforest in a foreign culture. First Nations cultures here have something to offer. I understand foreign policy from a different perspective. We have a very arrogant culture. It matters. We need to be concerned with our international image. I think that by running a high-spirited campaign, we send a clear message that we're not afraid, that 2000 doesn't matter. Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to worry about the year 2000 and we could just start anew? We can. We really can. We can forget about the past and just move toward the future. So I would reach out to Native American cultures, and I would focus on energy use. And we're going to continue to grow. Thank you.
Thank you, Kent. And the final candidate to respond to the first question, Lorna Salzman. Lorna, go ahead.
Well, I would do three things. And I think I already said what I would do in terms of outreach to all kinds of constituents, but with specific reference to environmental issues, which affect everyone in this country. There are three areas that I would utilize to grow the Green Party. The first would be, obviously, supporting, to the extent possible, local environmental struggles within communities, giving all kinds of support, giving exposure to it in the press, giving perhaps technical assistance, and of course, political assistance to those that are fighting those issues. The second is something that I proposed before I started the Ecology Committee in 2001, and the fact that the Green Party needs an Ecology Committee, I think, says something about the dissatisfaction in many of us. The second thing I would propose would be to have a national clearinghouse or campaign to educate the public, to rebut the media propaganda, and to bring the global warming issue and all its implications to the public. Letters to the press, lobbying in Washington, educating, doing training workshops for activists on global warming. And the third, I think, is perhaps the most important of all, and that is getting some Greens elected into Congress, because that's where the fate of the world rests.
Thank you, Lorna. Moving on to the second question now, we will begin the answers here with Peter Camejo, and we'll move to Kent, then Lorna, then David. The question, what do you see as the main obstacle keeping Greens from growing, and how do we deal with this? Peter?
Well, I personally happen to believe that we are at possibly an inflection point in history. There's been a radicalization in America every 30 years. And this one is about 10 years delayed. I think it's going to be explosive. I think that the points that Ken Mesley has been making, absolutely correct. We are entering a crisis on energy, which is going to bring out what we stand for before the public in a way that it's never happened before. I am predicting we're going to have $5 per gallon gasoline in 3 years and possibly $10 within 5 to 6 years. And I wish I could say more of that. Right now I'm working on a book on how to invest in alternative energy, and we're digging up all the facts. And I'm going to tell you something. The main obstacle we have is the fact that people in this country have been trained, taught, and enslaved into a two-party system where they literally will go to tens of millions who oppose the war, will go and vote for a man who is for sending more troops. In fact, Bush has just announced he's going to send more troops, and you notice not a single Democrat denounces it. Not one. And the anti-war movement is demobilized by the power of that party. The next thing they're going to do is move on the draft. And they'll have the Democrats front from them, and they'll use African Americans to do it, and they'll have Latinos to push it. We must stand up against the draft. We beat the draft, Art, and we must. If we can act in a principled manner, if we don't waver, if we don't bend, if we stand up for our principles and we don't call for voting for the two corporate parties, and if we stand up against the pressure, the Green Party could explode in time as these issues unfold. And I think there's a wonderful possibility, and it's going to be confused, and extremely complicated. We'll have relations with all kinds of other people in this election. For Christ's sakes, reach out to the person who is standing the most of the heat right now for the courage to say, run independent, stand up for the right of free elections in America, Ralph Nader.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Peter. The next candidate to respond will be Kent Mesplay. Kent, go ahead.
Currently, we threaten ourselves. We are perhaps the main obstacle keeping us from growing the Green Party in the United States. Let's not get in our own way. And we have become a protest movement in being an anti-war movement. This is critical. We need to stand up for our values. We need to make sure that, I believe it's House Bill 163 and Senate 89, do not pass, because as I understand it, our kids, and they are kids, can be drafted as early as spring of 2005. We have a corporate-dominated culture. We are an anti-corporate party, and we should be proud of this. So as a protest movement, we really do need to remain on task. We need to remain focused. We need to remain unapologetic. And that's what the Mesplay campaign is all about. I know I've been running pretty much a lone wolf campaign thus far. And I love running into David on the campaign trail. He's a friend by now. But should I get the nomination, I know that I will have wonderful support. And when I've seen David in action, I've thought, you know, I really could be president of the United States if I had David working for me. And just a quick note in closing, because I believe my time is about up, I would much prefer a Kamejo-Nader ticket than Nader-Kamejo.
Thank you, Kent. Kent Mesplay. Thank you. Lorna Salzman, go ahead with your response.
I guess I'm sort of repeating myself. I agree that the two-party system is a major obstacle. But internally, we have a problem because we have not yet conveyed to people the what we are about to the extent that these people can trust us. If we do not address issues in terms that people themselves understand and in terms of their own needs, where those people are coming from, then they will have no reason to trust the Green Party any more than any of the other parties. Part of this is the necessity, the urgency, to reclaim from the right wing the cliches and the terms and the slogans that they have co-opted, the notions of individual freedom, of personal liberty, for example, community, family values. They've all turned those to their own advantage. But those are, in their essence, those are the green values. And those are the values that a lot of Americans are looking for and have not been able to find. If we can articulate those within the broader ecological paradigm that I was speaking about, then I think that will, the major obstacle will have been overcome.
Thank you, Lorna. For the next question, we will begin the responses.
I thought I might answer. I thought I might answer that question.
I'm sorry, David. Sorry about that. David Cobb, go ahead. Sorry.
Everybody in this crowd knows the real obstacle is a voting system that is forcing people to vote against what they hate rather than for what they want. And I want us all, including my colleagues on the chat, together to say what the solution is. Instant runoff voting. So that's the obstacle. The obstacle is a voting system. We've got to challenge that. But as a lawyer, let's dig deeper. We've got a legal system that is legitimately or illegitimately using the law to protect property rights instead of human rights. Right? We've got a legal system that is enshrining and protecting racism and sexism It is taking economic exploitation and classism and making it legal under law. So we have a very deep problem. It's a cultural problem. Now, there is another problem that we have. That is George W. Bush is a problem. He's a very big problem and a failure to recognize the deep and profound danger that George W. Bush presents in a way that none of us have ever faced before is a problem on our part. We've got to reach out to progressives and build consensus not just within the Green Party, but amongst our progressive sisters and brothers. Show them that we share and hear their concerns and reach out beyond. I'm convinced that we can do that. I am articulating a strategy that will help grow and build the party and culminate with Bush out of the White House. And damn it all, it matters. Bush needs to be out, and I want to run a campaign that grows the Green Party and culminates with Bush out.
Thank you, David. And now we move on to question three. And we will begin this round with Kent. The question is, what would you do to reverse corporate control and the rights of corporations over people, which have been dramatically increasing since 1865? Kent, go ahead.
First of all, it's good that we're talking about it and that David is such an excellent spokesperson on the matter of corporate criminality, basically, is what it is by nature. Peter also and Lorna and I have spoken out about the problem that, and Nader, of course. Let's not forget Nader. A corporation is not a person and should never have been a person. Regarding our own internal process and procedure are important. Law is important. Our imported rules from Britain are one of the best new features brought to this so-called new world. But the idea of a corporation is perhaps one of the worst ideas that has moved over here. Corporate charters need to be revoked. Revocable and revoked when it's found that a corporation does not act in the public good. The best we can do right now is just to keep talking about this. But politically, we're gaining strength. We need to not be afraid of the power that we have. We need to not run a campaign that even suggests that we are afraid of the powers that be. Because we have increasingly become a protest movement. We need to adhere to this. This is important. I know that we're all protesting. We're all protesting the war. We're protesting the way things are. But we're going to get nowhere if we run what appears to be an anemic campaign. It's like blood in the water. People pick up on it when they think that someone really isn't running for president. And that's a key point.
Thanks, Ken. Lorna, you're next with this one. Go ahead.
Well, obviously, the public financing of campaigns is perhaps at the top of my list. I hope at the top of yours. That is one way. I sort of would rephrase the question a little differently, and that is to say not just how we would counteract corporate influence, but how we would actually weaken, undermine the corporations. And that means tax write-offs, tax benefits. And that's something that I think practically all of us would agree on here. But I think we need to emphasize it more. But we also need to emphasize it not just out of vengeance against the corporations. We need to, this is where the environment comes in. We need to make Americans particularly understand that as our consumer demands for energy and resources and for unlimited economic growth at the expense of nature and at the expense of the third world and undeveloped nations that is causing this crisis. Our ecological... Do I have 30 seconds? No. All right. Our ecological crisis is... our ecological footprint on the world is 20 times that of someone in the undeveloped world.
Okay, thanks, Lorna. David?
Well, I want to reframe that question because in the work that I do, many of you have actually heard my workshops and lectures, I don't even talk about corporate power anymore. I talk about corporate rule. We are being ruled by unelected, unaccountable institutions. As surely as the American revolutionaries built the movement to reject the unelected, unaccountable rule of monarchs, we the people need to build a movement that will reject the rule of unelected, unaccountable corporations. That's the level of discussion that I want to have around corporate power. And folks, if I can make a plug, we can do more than talk about it, because I have dedicated my law practice to this, and I want to give a plug for a little grassroots organization I work with called Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County. Check us out on the web, www.duhc.org, for all the evidence that you need for real-world solutions, revoking corporate charters, model ordinances that not only fight corporate harm but delegitimize the corporation as an institution. Everything that we need to do to begin the process. Corporate personhood is not a legal buzzword, folks. It means that a corporation is allowed to claim the constitutional rights of the Bill of Rights and claim that the government cannot infringe upon their rights. It completely strips economic democracy. It makes economic democracy illegal and unconstitutional. We got to do something about that, right? At the end of the day, this movement will be successful based on whether we've created a real movement or not. Law follows culture. I'm a lawyer, but I got to tell you, we're not going to craft a solution to these problems in their courtrooms. We're going to win it in the streets. We're going to win it whenever we engage progressives and not only educate them, but let them educate us. That's how we're going to build this movement.
Thank you, David. Peter, your response, please.
Corporations do rule and dominate America, but there is a very powerful counterforce, and that's the people. And sometimes when people think they're powerless, they are just totally underestimating the real weakness of the corporate world that simply functions on money. Stop and think of the glorious experience we have just had with Matt Gonzalez in San Francisco, when the people of San Francisco rose up behind a person while the whole entire corporate world backed the candidate endorsed by the two parties the corporate world has, the Democrats and Republicans. And don't ever forget, the corporate world is smart enough to have two parties, and one of them is there for the purpose of fooling us, and we've got to stop being fooled by that party. If you want to fight the corporations, we have to be pro-labor, pro-union, to get rid of the Taft-Hartley law. We have to fight for a living wage. We have to do all the things that strengthen the people against corporations. And right now, I have raised something that nobody else has ever mentioned before. In the book, I call it the new book, but it's two years old now. I point out that 60% of the largest 1,000 public corporations are today owned by working people, primarily through their pension funds. The Green Party has to fight for working people to be able to use this additional weapon they have in defending their rights against the corporate robbers and misleaders and the political parties. The Democrats especially have made sure that they are powerless. They have a right without a remedy, as a lawyer would understand what that means. And we, the Green Party, must be on the side of working people, on the masses, to find solutions to these problems and presenting an alternative, which is the rule of the people, for a government up for and by the people. And our enemy here is the two corporate parties who work as a system, not just one individual or one party.
Thank you, Peter. For the next question, we'll begin with Lorna Salzman for her response first, and here is the question. What alternatives do you advocate to the economic model of eternal growth? Lorna?
I, w- I wish I had a stand-in here. One of the members of our ecology committee is a scientist who works for the Fish and Wildlife Service. His name is Brian Check. He's from Virginia. He's written a very important book. It's called Shoveling Fuel for a Runaway Train. I don't think I have a single answer, but I do know that we need to muster in all the areas of our life, which would be legislation, economic remedies, political remedies, land use, habitat, settlements, energy. Oh, I'm being censored.
Right on cue when she said energy.
That was good. That was good. I said energy crisis right there in front of me.
Somebody leaning against a light switch?
Someone's.
They're leaning on the button.
Okay, so I start again, 4 minutes? All right. the model, any people who were around when I was during the late 60s and 70s and read the environmental publications knows that there were incredibly creative solutions in all these areas of energy, land use, transportation. They're still around. They've just been ignored. And to the model that I would have, I cannot give you here in 10 seconds or less. But I do know that we have to take the important first step, and it is an urgent first step. And if we don't take it, everything else falls to pieces, as I said. And that first step, for me, would be imposing carbon taxes on all fossil fuels. And not stopping there, taking the revenues from those carbon taxes, which could start piling up to literally tens of billions of dollars a year, applying those to other carbon-reducing activities, public transportation, renewable energy, weatherization, and all those things, which would in turn compensate the poor for having to pay more for gasoline at the gas pump. That's the jump start we need. And once you've accepted that as a premise, then you have jumped into a new model or into the path of that new model.
Thank you, Lorna. David?
As Greens, we often look, maybe we always should look, to the natural world for insights. Maybe in no other question that's been posed, I think, suggests the answer. Because the question was economic models that would be different than eternal growth. And I think that we should pause for a moment and acknowledge that unlimited growth never exists in the natural world save one. Cancer. It is the ideology of the cancer cell. And frankly, we have got to start talking about that. And only the Green Party is capable of talking about it rationally, intelligently, and begin to reframe what economics is in the first place. You know, you see, I grew up without a flush toilet. I grew up working, like they call it working class now. We called it grinding poverty. Here's what I know. People don't want a job where they're paid in order to be a wage slave. But everybody wants work. Everybody wants to do meaningful, productive things. And we got to be about the process of creating a whole new paradigm about what work means. And frankly, what success means. You know what? I earn in terms of taxable income, what is it, probably 80, 85, maybe 90% less than I did about 2 years ago. Let me tell you, I'm a lot happier. I have created a whole new paradigm for my life, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. And the relationships that I've built and how I'm spending my time as a productive human being, my time is up, and I want to tell you more about this.
Thank you, David. Peter, you're next with your response. Go ahead, please.
You know, this is one point at which the Greens' understanding is so completely above what the culture that exists in our society and what the Democrats and Republicans advocate. You know, as all of you know, I'm originally from Venezuela. When I was born, Venezuela had 2.5 million people in the country. It now has 25 million. in one lifetime. We are destroying the planet. We must fight for women's rights throughout the world, because that is the only way that we will stop the population explosion, is by women being freed from economic impoverishment, to stop the madness of the destruction of the world by this growth mentality. We have to also look at something else. It's not only that the whole economy has to change to alternative energy, except it's that our very values and our culture has to change. We have to recognize that happiness comes from human relations. We are, you know, all genetically programmed to love our children and to love our grandchildren and to love each other. But we have this genetic thing where we set up little clans. We have little families. We're all programmed to do that. But we have to understand that our family is the whole human species and our home is the planet. And until that becomes our culture and our intellectual understanding, when that is taught in the elementary and high schools, is when we can begin to solve our self-destruction, which this concept of growth forever, when it cannot, it can only mean the destruction of our economy if we continue along the path. And this message that the Green Party is sending out, you should be so proud of yourself. We are the one political party saying this unambiguously and clearly, and we need to say it louder than ever before in the next period of history as we enter this energy crisis.
Everything that we have in this good society, and it is basically a good society, I believe, problem of consumption, it's a problem of materialism, it's a problem of becoming more and more separated from, well, Mother Earth, to make it rather poetic. But we truly are not connected in the way that we need to be. So one solution is to have built-in economic and physical security. One way to do this is to have distributed power generation, to have communities that can be stand alone in the event of natural or man-made disasters. An advantage of this, too, is that it would help in our process of moving toward simplifying our lifestyles, in that, say, if you have an ultra-efficient home and you're generating your own power and you're growing some of your own food, not only are you more secure in the event of adversity, but you can relax a little bit in terms of perhaps not having to pay eternally high power bills by the gouging electric industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. We are running just a little bit longer than anticipated, but I'll keep pressing on. We got a full house still. I guess we can keep going for the next couple of questions. And we'll begin the response to this next question with David. And here is the question. How do you respond to the concerns of many states relating to ballot access in the 2004 presidential race?
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons why I've been saying all along since I've been out there that we need to run a Green Party presidential candidate, because in many states, only a Green Party presidential candidate can maintain ballot lines. Thank you, Joe. There you are. You know, I'm tempted to just stop the answer there, but because I've got time, I want to say that the Cobb-LaMarche ticket wants to work in genuine partnership with each state party to custom design a campaign that is going to grow and build the party, objectively, concretely, increase Green Party registration, elect local Greens to office, create and maintain existing ballot lines. Objective, concrete ways that we grow and build the Green Party. And I have done it concretely and objectively already. We'll continue to do it. We'll continue to do it. I also want to run a campaign that will culminate with George W. Bush out of the White House. And I think we need to continue to say that that is something that is important to us. The differences between Bush and Kerry are merely incremental, but they are not inconsequential. This is important. John Kerry is a corporatist and a militarist. I will excoriate the principle, the issues upon which John Kerry supported. But you know what? George W. Bush is genuinely dangerous, folks. And we got to grapple with that. We got to grow this party. We got to challenge the corporate capitalist system. Build the party. Get Bush out in 04. We can do this. We can do this.
Thank you, David. Thank you, David. Peter, your response, please.
The comments that David Kopp just made are the comments and the view which will lead tens of millions of people to vote for war. It is the Democrats and Republican parties together that are creating the problem we confront, and it is the Green Party that understands that. We don't fall for the trap. This is Bush. Bush is backed by the corporate world, the same people who backed the Democratic Party. And the job of the Democratic Party is to protect Bush. They gave him 18 standing ovations in January in the State of the Union. How can you believe for one second that we should tell the people to have the illusion that what Bush represents can be removed by voting for people who are pro-Bush, who have voted for everything that he wants, that have voted for the Patriot Act, that have voted against working people? This is a difference we have in the party. And you know what? It's normal for people trying to change the world to have differences. Let's not turn on each other. We need to come out of this convention and use. We need to have both of these points presented. We got to make the Greens and everybody looking at us understand that we ourselves are debating this issue. But what the Greens bring to the table that's different from the nation and all of those who are panicking and calling on people not to speak against war, to run and vote for a man, Kerry will, like the Democrats did in Vietnam. They went and killed 2 million people. What do they have to do before you begin understanding that to fall for this argument that you are somehow defeating Bush because you vote for Kerry? You're not. 10 million votes, 20 million votes for Nader would do more to stop the war drive and to strengthen working people than whatever happens between these two major parties. There has to come a day when we say, free at last. I will never vote for them again.
Peter, thank you, Peter.
I will never vote for them again.
Thank you.
I will never vote for them again. I will never vote for them again.
Peter Cameo, thank you, Peter. And now a response from Kent Mesplay. Kent, go ahead.
During my campaign, one thing that I have heard is that what I am doing is to help shift the paradigm. There are more people running as Greens now because I've been on the road as a presidential candidate. I am proud to be Green, and I am proud to be a Green Party presidential candidate. Aren't you proud to be Green? David Kopp has inspired the growth of the Green Party. He has inspired Greens. But Ralph Nader has, too, and a lot before David Kopp. So we need to work together, however this turns out. And again, I am offering myself as a compromise kid. So think dissent, Kent. Think when we come down to 4, 5, or 6 rounds of voting that I'm still around. We cannot plan to start losing earlier and earlier, not just in the presidential race, but are we going to do this in local races as well? No. No more pre-voting. Let's scorch the Democrats. If it's a problem in the fall, we can always ask John, I will fight for you, Kerry, to resign the race so as to not spoil it. No pre-voting. No lesser evilism. Thank you.
Thank you, Kent. And now Lorna's response to this question. Lorna, go ahead.
Well, what use is a ballot line if you don't have a candidate that's going to get more than just the Green Party votes? And what use is a ballot line if the party itself doesn't stand for anything more than just that election every 2 or 4 years? Now, we are an electoral party, but we have to stand for something. One of the principles we do stand for is a multi-party democracy, a parliamentary system, perhaps, like they have in Europe. Those parties in Europe stand for things. They stand for principles and values and policies and programs, and the people understand and vote for those parties because they support those things. We have to pretend, even though we don't have that kind of system, we have to pretend that we are the same, that we have certain inherent values and principles that we stand for that will attract us. That ballot line will become valuable only insofar as people understand and support those principles.
Thank you, Lorna. We have two questions left, two questions. We still have a couple to go. Let me begin this round with Peter Camejo. And the question is, will you campaign, if asked by the state party, in key battleground states?
If you're worried about your ballot status, nothing better than take our unity statement and put Nader Camejo on your ballot, because, look, no disrespect to David Kopp, the vote we're going to get is huge compared to what David Kopp's going to get. So, I am trying to reach out to David and say, in this room, you can see it. We're not all on one point of view. Will I campaign in all states? You betcha. And you know, if you're for lesser evil, you may not want me to come, because I am going to speak against both of these parties and to explain the hypocrisy of the Democrats and how they lie to the people, how they back Bush. Wouldn't it be great if we had posters showing all the Democrats standing up in a standing ovation to Bush, or have, like, you know, like our candidate running in San Francisco who's been thrown off the ballot, Terry Baum, against Nancy Pelosi, who sends out letters saying that Bush might withdraw the troops. So make sure to elect Democrats so we can keep them there. We got to tell the American people the truth about what is happening. They play such games on the minds of the people. They totally support Bush. The Patriot Act, for God's sake, it's illegal. It's a violation of the Constitution. Every single person who voted for it, Paul Wellstone, Barbara Boxer, they knew they were violating the law. They knew they're part of a conspiracy. We have to change that culture. And you can't change that culture when you start saying that we, the Green Party, should tell people to vote for one of these corporate parties.
Now we'll go to Kent for his response. Kent?
One of the first things that I knew about Ralph Nader, and I'm not stumping for him, but one of the first things that I knew is that where he ran and when he would run, he would pull not quite evenly from the right and the left, but not entirely from the left, some 25% to 38%. Ralph Nader did not spoil the 2000 election. But the system is spoiled. The Green Party is here to stay. On the matter of swing states or key battleground states, a full 9 out of 22, think roughly a third, a full third of the states where we are ballot qualified are such states. We have made major inroads into states such as New Mexico and Florida and this state because our majoritarian values do have widespread appeal. People listen across the political spectrum. So don't believe the lies. We are not a focus group of the Democratic Party. And yes, I would run everywhere.
Thank you, Kent. Lorna.
Of course I would.
She gets the prize for the shortest shortest response. David?
The question is, would I campaign in all states? Of course I would, as Lona says. Absolutely. The question is, what would I say when I'm there? Right? In roughly 40 states, the message for the Green Party ought to be, progressives, don't waste your vote. A vote for John Kerry in 40 states across this country is utterly and completely wasted because you can't unelect Bush, and you're voting for a corporatist militarist candidate. No doubt about it. There is no doubt about that fact. Now, in the other states, the message ought to be, progressives, vote your conscience. We need to reach out to people and say, vote your conscience. This is a bigger election than that. And folks, I want to stop for a moment, and I would ask, please let my folks not interrupt Peter. Peter's folks don't interrupt me. Play nice. You could probably, thank you. But folks, let's acknowledge something. Ralph Nader is not here. That means something. The Nader-Kamejo ticket is willing to campaign in all states, but is a populist party candidate in some states, a reform party candidate in other states, an independent party candidate in other states. We don't know where as a Green Party yet. We don't know. And he's still not here. At the end of the day, there is a question of internal democratic process, institutional, personal self-respect. What are we going to do? Because, folks, I make this pledge. Not only will I campaign in every state and want to work in partnership with the Green Party, I'm going to be a Green at the end of this convention, no matter what happens. I'm going to be a Green in November, no matter what happens. I'm going to keep working and organizing for the Green Party, no matter what happens. This party is bigger than any one person. It's bigger than any one election. It's bigger than this. We are on the move. Do not give up.
Thank you, David. David Kopp. Thank you, David. We have arrived at the last question. And for this last question, we will begin the responses with Kent. And here it is. Do you think that we should approach the 2008 presidential candidate exploratory process differently than we have this year? And if so, how?
Why bother? We might hurt the Democrats in 2008. That was a bit of a snide remark, I know, but some of the arguments that are being used right now could keep us down indefinitely. The problem, again, is the system. As far as who you're going to get to run in 2008, I have no idea. Good luck. I have a rather unique perspective on this, being a Green Party presidential candidate. Even in the so-called safe states, people are really worried about the Green Party and about Bush being re-elected/selected. We have to do what's best for the Green Party and run as though 2000 never happened. One thing that I like to say is the only wasted vote is a vote for a Democrat or a Republican. I might like to run in 2008. I won't rule it out. But for me, I'm thinking that this is a one-shot deal. So I've been having fun with it so far. Incidentally, I am collecting signatures from uncommitted delegates only so that I can survive the first round. I will not be turning these in out of solidarity with the other presidential candidates who may be excluded from speaking and have made the effort to come here. Thank you.
Thank you, Kent. Lorna.
I, Yes, I think we need a very, very different process, much more open, much more grassroots from the bottom up instead of the top down. We all know what the problems were. We need to do two things, one internal, and that is developing our own leadership. We have had examples of this incredible leadership from Peter Cameo, from Matthew Gonzalez, Jason West, and others, which are incredible pluses on our record. But we also need some leadership from the outside. We need to attract different kinds. We can't just go and say, these are the chosen few. We need to attract other kinds of leadership from those diverse constituencies that I was referring to earlier. We simply can't be a club. We are not a club. We are a political party.
Thank you, Lorna. David?
Listen, I want to acknowledge how difficult it was for everybody in this room and everybody in Green Party leadership to deal with this situation in 2004. Not just because Bush is in office and the anybody but Bush mentality has gripped so many people. Ralph Nader running as an independent has been very difficult. I want to applaud the Green Party leadership. I want to applaud people who have worked so hard to figure out a way to actually create a process. And I mean that for Peter Cameo delegates and supporters. I mean it for people who support Lorna and Kent as well. I think that we really need to work on, as Greens, being a little more gentle with each other. And I really sincerely mean that. And folks, many of you have heard and seen me speak across this country. And you know that I say this all the time, right? I mean, you've heard me say it, and I'm going to continue to say it. These are growing pains, and in fact, it means we're growing. You know, we're going to get better at this. And one of the things that we need to do in 2008 in this individual Greens perspective is to commit ourselves to having a woman at the top of the ticket. And that, folks, that is coming from a straight white male who understands that institutionalized racism and sexism exist, white privilege exists, and male privilege exists. I want to try to be the best anti-racist white ally I can be. I want to be the best kind of male feminist that I can be. And I want to put a seed out there right now to men in this audience. Join with me and create a bank. Green women candidates can draw upon that says, as a man, I pledge to provide babysitting services and house cleaning services to any woman willing to run for office. Let's find ways to practically make it work.
Thank you, David. Before we get to Peter's response, let me just say, before we have Peter Cameo conclude this, just let me say I'm told there are some important convention announcements that will be made after his concluding remark to this question, so please stick around for that, some important convention announcements. Okay, Peter, go ahead.
I'm getting better at tying them.
You know, I think sometimes it's remarkable how inventive Greens can be. Like David Cobb calling for a vote for John Kerry as voting your conscience. I have always heard when we use that term to mean you vote against the Democrats and Republicans, not for them. Be honest and just say it. You're for lesser evil. You're for voting. You want to say, as you say in your website, you say you're for voting for Kerry. Look, this is a fundamental difference we have. The Green Party is divided on this. And you say, let's be gentle towards each other. It's fine to argue politics, like my disagreement with your position to continue the occupation of Iraq in violation of all laws. Well, if you don't believe me, just go to his website and see the phrase. VoteCobb.org and read where it says, if the interim government asks for troops to remain, I support that. That's what David Cobb says. These are political differences. But attacking individual Greens, you will never see in the public press ever from me an attack on another Green. When the media came to me and said, when you were running in the recall election... When when in California I ran on the recall and there was a website criticizing the Greens, the media came to me and I said, go read it. More power to them. That's the type of party we are. You're running somebody and some Greens disagree, they can say whatever they want, and we want that. Let me tell you something. The anti-Nader attacks do not help the Green Party. You say is Nader here? Nader is here in his spirit and his soul, but he has given to this party. And it is Nader that has put this party on the map and helped us. And you don't turn against allies. No. Know who the enemy is. And it's Bush and Kerry, not Nader. It hurts me when I see a headline in a paper, our candidate is against Bush and Nader and doesn't want to hurt Kerry. That's wrong. We have to work together. I don't agree with David on this. This is a meeting of our convention to discuss these differences. I got interrupted by the cop people, so give me a couple of seconds here. On the question of our system, I don't agree with an electoral college system. To nominate a presidential candidate in our party, it's got to be one person, one vote. It has to be one person, one vote. We don't imitate them. We have our own respect that
Thank
every
you, Peter.
Green is equal to every other Green.
Thank you, Peter. Time is up. And we are going to be some convention announcements. Please stick around for that. Before that, let me just say very quickly, allow me one personal remark. Thanks for having me here as a moderator. I'm glad I was asked. I know that media is extremely important to how your party gets covered in the presidential election and other elections. And I know from being on both sides of that fence, I started out as an activist and an alternative journalist. I'm in mainstream corporate media now with the Wisconsin Radio Network. But let me tell you, don't write off all the corporate media. There are some reporters out there, and I count myself as one of them, who are trying to do a very fair and balanced job in getting your message across to people as well as the main party. Thank you very much. Now some announcements.
Bosco, California. I want to say something. We've heard a lot of robust opinions here. And this is a really magical thing. This is a true political convention. It's not orchestrated for the media. This is the real deal. And it's a beautiful thing. And I want to say, some of the candidates use the word conscience. This party is the conscience of America and the best hope for the future. So just a really brief announcement. I have the privilege of serving as the assistant elections administrator. And in the service of a fair process, in order to hear the candidates address the nominating convention on Saturday, the rules that we are administrating promulgate that by 6 o'clock tomorrow, petitions that have been distributed need to have at least 25 qualified delegates from at least three states.
Let him finish. Let him finish, please.
Delivered to the elections administrator. And the key thing to keep in mind is that if you want to hear the candidates address the convention on Saturday, don't duplicate the petition signatures, because if you sign more than one of those, they'll be thrown out.
I will not be speaking.
So that's the quick announcement.
I will not be speaking either unless Ken speaks, unless we all speak.
So we're administrating the rules. Thanks a lot.
I oppose the exclusion of the two women who ran for president to be excluded tomorrow in any way, shape, or form. I think that this business is absurd. It is. We only have a few people who ran, and we need to formally respect all the people who ran and let them all speak.
I have always opposed the procedural requirement as well. And I want to thank whoever asked the question. But let me say that the way to do this is to find a solution. Tempers are high. I totally understand that. We can get through this. Yes. All right. So. Well,
David, you can't do this. People want to hear the candidates. That's the way our democracy works. But the other thing I want to say is not only do we let all candidates speak, we don't let anyone be nominated our presidential candidate without getting a majority of all the votes. Back to back, we can question this convention is shameful. It has never happened that either the Democratic or Republican Party, they would be embarrassed and manipulated in another way. But they will never allow someone to be nominated without an absolute majority of all the votes being cast. Don't present half a change. We must respect internal democracy and allow the people who ran to speak. We know that shouting at each other is no way to resolve this issue. I want to thank Marlise for suggesting I want all the candidates to see. I think that is obvious. I mean, if there is a procedural requirement, I want to work to make sure that whatever it is that procedural requirement is met. I don't know what the procedural rules were. I want to also respect the coordinating committee of the Green Party of the United States. I want to respect Robert Jones.